Especially when we don't remember.
Amen.
And bless you too.
Amen.
Amen. We sing hymn 45, E flat, leaning on lasting arms. Take joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a blessing mine, leaning on the everlasting. I am leaning, oh, I am leaning. We sing, I sing from God, oh, I am leaning. We surround me, oh, I'm leaning. On the everlasting, all how sweet to walk in this new way, leaning on the everlasting, oh, how bright the path. Walks from day to day, building all the everlasting. Oh, I am here. Oh, I am here. Hallelujah. Still Tune number 53. Sweet. They say that is fair and my Lord and my King, we can see the way to God of yes, to prepare, oh, yes, it is not sweet. I am the Christian of the Lord. Oh, my God, it is not sweet. I did find this oh, God, beautiful soul. Oh, yes, we shall see what I did for you. Oh, God, I love you. So, we shall sorrow. Who don't decide the blessing of oh, yes, in the sweet, in the sweet, my dear, shall be oh, my God, in that sweet, in that sweet, by God, we shall be on the we shall be all my beauty. So, oh, my God, I shall be all my beauty. So, oh, my God,
let's go to 188. It's St. Mark's 188. maybe it's 182. Some say 19 again, some say 21. I don't know which one we want to choose. So,
I have heard of the land, all the fire is strong. Jesus, the snow. Never In a land where we have in the beautiful, the good we shall be but sweet, happy praise to the King, to the King, to the King, shout out,
to see him I saw the moon. Oh,
God bless each and every one. Glad to be here once again this evening. I just want to come to prayer. Kevin was asking for prayer about his job situation. So we really want to put him before the Lord. Everything is well, but we just want him the procedure to be quickened a bit so he can get back to work. So let's put our brother before the Lord. And if you have a request, I want to place your hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can come as needy people before you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you hear and answer prayer. What a blessing that is to us. Thank you, Lord, that you said to cast all of our care upon you because you care for us. And he has our brother now. Father, he wants to get back to the post of duty naturally once again. Father, here's a Red Sea that Father is taking time to open. Mm-hmm. So, Father, in your precious name, we just unite ourselves together.
Yes.
And you said, speak unto this
Amen.
Mountain. And Father, upon this evening, we speak to this mountain.
Find it, Lord.
Father, we say, who is this great mountain
yes.
before Zerubbabel?
Mm.
It shall become a plain. Father,
yes.
let this, Lord, pass
yes.
speedily, we pray.
Yes.
That your son may rejoice in.
Amen.
Father, won't you help us this evening? You see the needs of your people.
Yes.
Pray for your people online. Won't you help us in your word?
Yes.
Help us in fellowship. Draw near to us. Be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Just share my screen here. So we wanted to get onto something starting this evening, Lord willing. We never know what tomorrow will hold. But we'd really, really like to get on to looking at a topic. I'd started looking at something, and then I saw today that it just came to me, it really dawned on me, you know, when something really checks you a little bit. And I thought, there's a lot of things that we do that we just take for granted that everybody knows what we're speaking about. Because things, the understanding of the word revelation, those kind of things, it's cumulative. You know, you pick it up as you go by, but you always have new people coming and you have young people now that, I think it doesn't show clearly on there. That's how we normally, but you always have new people, young people growing up. They come into the stage now. They really want to get to know the word, new people coming along. And you need people to catch up as well. So sometimes it would be good for us to take a topic, which maybe would be a little bit of a further on topic, but to take a little bit extra time in the Bible study to discuss and speak about the principles behind it. For example, we speak about the trumpets, we speak about the seals and stuff. Yeah, a lot of people have heard that terminology a lot, but what is a trumpet?
Yeah.
What's the difference in a trumpet and a seal? We take it for granted that people know because we know.
Yeah.
Because maybe you've been in the Lord for a while. But I think we should, on this particular topic, just take our time, because it may help us to just reinforce the foundational things as well. So you're taking something more advanced, but you're explaining a little bit more the foundational principles as we go. I think it would be important for us to do that. So we wanted to have a look at this topic here, which is the age of empires, being anointed for the last day. We would like to just think about this topic, this anointing in the last days, the fine tuning of the word. You know, how much we can prove by the word that we're speaking about on the weekend. We can see God in his universe, but what about God in his word? And prophecy is a very, very powerful witness of God in his word. Because nobody else knows the end from the beginning except for the one that created time.
Amen.
Yeah, and he's in charge of the program. He's in charge of the great symphony. He wrote it all before the foundation of the world. So he knows the end from the beginning.
Amen.
And he excuse me, demonstrates that time and time again in scripture. And I thought maybe we could have a look just because of certain reasons. Let's take Ezekiel 38. Let's just read a scripture and we'll be seated. Ezekiel 38, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. So this is a prophecy. And say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And I will turn you back and set hooks into thy jaws. And I will bring you forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togmara of the north quarters and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days, thou shalt be visited. In the latter years, thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands, and many people with thee. Mm-hmm. So we'll finish that. You might be seeing the saints, God bless them, give us just a starting point. But where I came across this, I wasn't going to speak about this, but yes, there was the fourth anniversary of Russia invading Ukraine. And it's an interesting thing because we spoke of it exactly 4 years ago today. And we spoke at the Bible study, this one of what Russia was the eve before they invaded, because you could see what was coming. You know, it is written with Gitana at that time, because she used to be a little bit sympathetic before the war to her homeland from years gone by. So, and she would say, no, 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 they'll never invade Ukraine. We'd speak about it and say, no, they'll never do that. And stuff. But that morning I got up and I went and spoke to her and said, they invaded. It actually did take place. But this is a fourth anniversary. And on this fourth anniversary, we find once again, we're on the eve of another war. To those who know the news that's going on at the moment, there's such a huge buildup around Iran at the moment. America has one third of its navy. It's got a huge navy stationed surrounding Iran. And its air force, it's got all of its high-powered airplanes are all stationed in Europe. Some of them in Britain, they're in Cyprus, they're in all the nations surrounding Iran. And like it says, they're a massive military buildup. And all the graphics show you just how much equipment is focused now on Iran. So once again, we find ourselves in the midst of a gathering of great forces, like it was 4 years ago. And we see kingdoms in conflict. We see winds, which is wars among the nations. And things are really, really building up. And this one here could be quite a war if this one does go forth. And I'm suspecting that it will because of the repercussions if things don't. So just looking at these things, I thought, okay, how do we link these things together? We see Russia in Ukraine. We know that three different judgments that come are sword, famine, pestilence, famine, and sword. We've spoken of it before. And we see the birth pains of those things in this very generation. The last 10, 15 years, we see 2008, we had famine, which is all these economic problems, people losing their jobs and all the things that took place when there was the Great Recession, the greatest recession since 1929, the Great Depression. You know, so you find the nation shook. Katana was watching something the other day, Panorama, where they were showing that, you know, Britain's debt was called Is Britain Broke, if anybody watched it. It was quite a sobering one to watch and showing that Britain's debt has doubled since COVID. No, it's like it's a huge, huge debt. And yeah, you just see what's coming. So you find famine now, which is when the Lord blows upon the economy of a country, upon your harvest. We've seen that. We see birth pains, real, real recession. I remember at that time working a 3-day week. Yeah, I know many people who lost their jobs at that time and stuff. It wasn't easy. I watched a thing, it was a really good thing. I think it might still be on YouTube, called The Men Who Crashed the World, about those bankers and the decisions that they made that caused the world economy to be on the brink within 24 hours of the world economy collapsing, until the US Treasury and the federal guy in charge of the Federal Reserve, whatever his name was. They had to gather all the top bankers. It's a very interesting documentary to watch. They had to bring them to Washington, D.C., got them in a certain building and shut them in for the weekend, all the guys from the big banks. And they told them, guys, if we don't sort out this problem this weekend, no bank's going to be able to open on Monday. And they had to discuss, there was such a big issue. One big bank was going to go under. And the American government had run out of money now to bail them out. And they're saying, we need you guys to bail them out before Monday, before the markets open in Asia. If you don't do that. And the guy in charge of the Federal Reserve, he's a Mormon, I think. He went out in the midst of that meeting when they interviewed him. I think it was on the Sunday. They hadn't found a solution yet. And he went and he phoned his wife and told her, go to the cash machine and get as much cash as you can out, because there's a good chance tomorrow the banks won't have any money. And they said it was the closest the world ever came to complete collapse, because things are so dependent on each other. And when one thing fails, and this was a huge, I believe it was AIG, one of those huge, huge corporations, and so many other banks were like linked to them, because they reinsure each other's debt. And then so when one was going to go down like that, it was the closest the world ever came to total economic collapse. And when they got them in this room, this one big banker, one big American government guy got up, and it's very interesting what he said. He said, you know the words that he used to these bankers? He said, Babylon the Great has fallen, it's fallen. He says, our greed has got us into this situation. He says, but maybe this weekend we can make a decision to push it a little bit further. But they know that it's a house of cards and it doesn't take much for everything to collapse. We've seen that birth pain just recently. We've seen the economic, and the world's never fully recovered from that. There was a very good picture in the newspaper. I wish I'd have kept it. You know, and it was this knight in armor, and he was fighting, and there was this little dragon, and he fights against this thing called the Great Recession. And he fights, and his armor's all dented, his horse is tired, he's all wounded and stuff. And here comes the big one after the big dragon after him, you know, the mother, which is the big one that's coming. And we know from prophecy that that's going to happen. We know that things are going to collapse because the kingdom of the beast has to rise up. Like in Germany in the 1920s, late 1920s, when they lost the First World War and all the war reparations had to pay, and money became valueless. Yeah. I know because my grandfather was from there, my grandmother. And you could take a wheelbarrow of money, and the wheelbarrow was worth more than the money. That's how it was. The inflation was like Zimbabwe inflation in its day. It was such a disaster. And then came the Great Depression, 1929, and it made it even worse. And people got so desperate that when Hitler rose up, and we know Hitler is a prototype, is a type of the Antichrist. When he rose up and the people were desperate, they were willing to sell everything, their souls, their liberties, their freedom, for someone who could come and give them work and give them bread once again. And they knew this man. He had written Mein Kampf in 1919. People knew what his policies were going to be. But in their desperation, because this man could speak and he was anointed the way that he was, they gave all the power into the hands of a madman. And that led the world into World War II. That caused the havoc that was World War II. Now, that's a type. The prophet calls that the pre-tribulation, an amateur tribulation. And the Jews got caught in Europe then. And they had no place to go. And just because of what they believed, they were hunted down like dogs and put to death. You know, that's a type of the tribulation. But the great tribulation is not just going to be in Europe, it's going to be worldwide. Yeah, and there's going to be this man rise up. But when the economy collapses, when there's great trouble, then here comes a man, the charismatic man who Satan indwells a man from Rome, and he comes now with the answers. And people are so desperate, they sell all their liberties out to him. And then you find yourself in an awful lot of trouble. You know, so we can see all the things we see now are birth pains of the great, great, great tribulation that's to come. So the first one is famine, and then there's pestilence. What about COVID? we never ever saw since 1918, when there was the Spanish flu, worldwide pandemic like that, wiping out people. But we've seen it just a few years back.
Yeah.
The whole world shut down for a long period of time. And it was a huge amount of money that nations got themselves in debt because of pestilence now, because of disease. That's also now a birth pain.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things have a voice behind them. The prophet speaks of the voice of the sign.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the sign, it's the voice behind. What is that sign saying? So you have pestilence, you have famine, then you have sword, which is warfare. And now we find Europe in the midst of war for the last 4 years. You know, and all the nations are almost getting pulled in, and Boris Johnson saying, let's send troops and all these kind of things to Ukraine. I mean, yay. That's a bloody war. Russia's had 1.3 million casualties. They're losing 38,000 young men a month. And they just, it's a terrible thing, war. But it just shows there's the great war to come, Armageddon. You know, so these are birth pains. You know, it's like this is the Lord shaking the nations. I remember doing once the Sunday school when we took it, when the Lord says, I think it was from Haggai, says, yet once more I will shake the nations.
Mm.
And the Lord shakes the nations a little bit to try to get them to wake up because he doesn't want to have to pour the full judgment.
Yeah.
And then just the nations don't learn the lesson. Those lessons of the Great Recession 2008, the governments have done absolutely nothing to fix the problem.
That's right.
All they've done is got themselves more in debt. So when the big problem comes next time, they're even in a worse condition than they were before.
Mm.
Instead of learning and putting all these restrictions on the banks and how much they can abuse people's money like they were, they did nothing about it. Nothing has changed.
Mm.
The only thing that's changed now is that the armor that they had before is all worn out. So if the big one comes now, they're not prepared, even less prepared to face up to the next one. So everything we see is prophetic. It fits into a prophetic timetable. Nothing happens by chance, especially when you see things in the Middle East. Like now you see Iran, which is Persia from the Bible. It's very prophetic, Iran. It's part of the end time scenario that has to be there. So when you see things going the way that there's something behind this. Why is this happening now? What is the purpose of this? Why is America being anointed and inspired now to go and hit Iran again when Israel and America hit them in the 10-day war just a few months back, stopped all the nuclear program and all that. And now Iran are so anointed for the last days that no matter how much they were hit before, they just go full speed ahead developing nuclear weapons again and that. And now comes a bigger stick. And now they're being told, if you don't stop what you do, they're trying to develop nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles to deliver them to Israel and to reach Europe and so forth. Yeah, it's craziness what's going on. And you find now the Americans now, they've been anointed now with a certain anointing to protect Israel.
That's right.
And they come into Iran and say, you've got 10 days to stop once again. If they don't stop, and they're not playing, because America doesn't gather one third of its navy in an area that costs a lot of money.
Yes.
And put all of its military, its planes, all of its stealth bombers and all that kind of stuff surrounding a nation if it's not prepared to use the big stick. And just knowing scripture that you can't see Iran bowing down. They can't. No, that's the ideology. This is what they dream for. No, we'll see it as we go. That's what they're there for at the end time, is to do things like this. So we need to know where we are in prophecy. To know where we're in prophecy, it's good to know the big picture, but it's good to know the end game as well.
Yeah,
because if you don't know where things scripturally are going to end up, how are you going to know where you are in the timetable or in the timeline that's leading up to that? But when you know what's coming at the end, according to scripture, who's going to be involved, how they're going to be involved, what's going to happen, then you can look at the modern events, and they're made clear by prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
You can ask, okay, so this is a part of the jigsaw puzzle. This is an important part to lead to that. This isn't the main event, but these are birth pains that are leading to that main event. And I think it would be good maybe just to go through some of those fundamentals to show what is coming and where are we now and how does this fit in? Because this really fits in the prophetic timetable. So we've got Russia, we've got Persia there, we've got America, we've got all these big players there. And the amazing thing is that this was all prophesied 2,500 years ago. clearly in the Bible and shows us where this is all going to go. And that's what I thought. I just go back as a bit of a revision. I wasn't going to do this until I was really waiting. I said, look, we can get on to the next thing. But there's a lot of people that weren't here 4 years ago when we looked at that topic of watch Russia and went and showed prophetically where does it end up. So I thought, okay, let's maybe just take a step back and just do some backfill. Yeah, let's go over that just once again so that everybody's got a level playing field before we take it on to the next stage, which is all these other empires. So tonight we'll look at the Russian Empire in Scripture. We'll look at Persia in Scripture. And the next time we have the other empires. We have the EU. We have America. Yeah, we have other players as well in this. We have obviously Rome coming with the beast. So it's good to know. And our topic is that anointed for the last days. We'll see there's two different anointings. There's the anointing of the beast anointing, you know, like a beast rising up out of the waters. That's an untamed beast. Then there's the four beasts, four living creatures surrounding the throne. Now there's two anointings in the end time, and everybody's going to be under one of these anointings. And those anointings come now in the harvest time to quicken the seed to harvest.
Right.
And that's why you're going to find surprising things happening in our age. Alliances changing and people switching from one side to the other. They've been, you know, allies with the West for generations and generations. Right at the end now, they align themselves with different people. And you've got to look in the Bible. They had to do that. And something quickened them because according to their prophetic destiny, the right people in the right place at the right time, you know, that had to be on the television set. And until that was there, things couldn't go any further. And there's tremendous Amen. Amount of prophecy being fulfilled or in the preparation of being fulfilled now. Now, those mechanics being set up, all the pieces being put in place, but you can see why they're being put in place
right.
if you know where it's going to end up. And then you can say, it's later than you think. when you start looking at it like that, so we can measure how far. And it's very good to look at these things scripturally. So the first one we need to look at is this Prince of Persia. Because right from Bible times, most of the time, Persia was a thorn in the flesh of Israel. It was really the enemy of Israel.
Yeah.
If you go back in the Bible, the Prince of Persia in the book of Daniel was the one who rose up now, that demonic force, that ruler of nation, the nation, whatever it was, he rose up to destroy Israel. And it's never going to change. So when you see now a nation, now it's not Persia, they've renamed themselves 50 years ago, 60 years ago, to the Republic of Iran. But you find somebody, it doesn't matter how much it costs them, doesn't matter how unpopular they become, doesn't matter what it is, they are just absolutely determined to produce nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles. And their stated aim is annihilation of Israel. You're not going to be really surprised to say, but hey, prophet says you can't beat your type. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. You know, there's cycles. History just repeats itself. It's the same thing. People die, but spirits never die.
Yeah.
So we find the same thing rising up in our age, this Prince of Persia. And we see it as like a real gathering storm now once again. Because if you open your Revelation chapter 7, which is always a pivotal scripture, whenever you see wars, strife, and these kind of things rising up, you always have to take yourself back to Revelation chapter 7. So in Revelation 7 verse 1, it says, and after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. So we know wind speaks of war, right?
Yeah.
So when you find four winds, north, south, east, west, it speaks of world war. It's war in every direction. We've already had two world wars. The Bible calls them woes in the book of Revelation. So we're in the middle between the second war and the third war is Armageddon. It's the war that ends all wars. And that's what Revelation 7 is speaking of. Is there comes times where events take place, where people in nations start running ahead of the vision, like what Iran is doing now. You know, they're running ahead of, no, they're going too quickly now. It's not time for that. And the Lord now has to raise up things, like what America's doing to Iran and what Israel's doing to Iran. It's like those angels are holding back the wind, saying, not yet. It's not time for that. And you find sometimes God has to send a counteracting wind, another war, to come and bash some of these things to stop them because all the pieces for the vision are not yet in place.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you try to run ahead with the vision of the vision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the prophet said it in looking away to Jesus. He said, we've gone as far as we can prophetically. Now we need to step back a little bit and allow things to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
He says, because America has to speak like the dragon. There's got to come up. He says, we can't go much further now. We need to wait for prophetic event to catch us up.
Yes.
We can't just keep on running and then leave all the prophetic events behind us. And that's what I see happening in Iran now. I see Iran is trying to run ahead of the vision. Yes, in the end, we're going to see Iran coming against Israel. We're going to see that. But not in the way they're wanting to do it. We'll explain that as we get into it. But they're not supposed to have nuclear weapons. Because if they have nuclear weapons, they don't need to join themselves in Ezekiel with Russia and others and come against Israel. They'll just blast Israel with the nuclear weapons. So when they get into the stage, they're just about getting this ultimate weapon, and they've got this most destructive ideology. They've got this real toxic version of Islam. Because Iran believes the people who lead are not the Persian people. Many of them are really good people. Big revival going on among the Iranian people, Christian revival.
Yes.
But those top few percent, like in communist Russia and those places, those crazy loonies there, you know, with the guys in Khomeini and all these guys, they believe in a theology called 12 theology. They believe they have been destined to be placed in the last days to bring about the end of days. So that their Messiah, they call him the Mahdi, he can come back. But the only time they can come back is in the midst of a world war. So they feel they have to prepare the conditions to bring back their Messiah. No, we feel the same, but not by having nuclear weapons. We've got to get out there, get the last soul, and then, you know, and come to maturity and that. So we are anointed under a certain anointing that's quickening us to fulfill scripture so that Christ can come. These people under their anointing, which isn't the same anointing as us, under this beast anointing, this anointing that comes upon these kind of empires, they are quickened now with one ideology. That is their driving force, their revelation, their message is they've got to bring the world to chaos. Yeah. Now, no person in their right mind, if you see people like that, if you know your neighbor next to you, is building some sort of big weapon so you can blow up the whole neighborhood. Me, I'm going to go there with a big stick and beat him and take away his weapon. There's nothing wrong with that. It's common sense.
Amen.
You can't understand why the previous presidents before this Obama, but they know nothing about it. These people have got a stated aim of what they're going to do, like Hitler had as well.
Yeah.
And people don't take it seriously. Yeah? And finally, there's a man on the throne in America who takes it seriously. Because God has anointed him to protect Israel because Iran's running ahead of the vision.
Right.
Something needs to bash them a little bit. Already it's happened. Put the whole program back to allow things to progress prophetically, and then they'll take their place at the end. But you can see that's what's taking place at the moment. So these birth pains, like we see now, these wars, they all have a purpose. They're all fitting into something. They're all leading to something. So this is divine fine-tuning. We were speaking on the weekend about fine-tuning. Just to show how much the Lord is in control of things. Because the big decisions, you know, the timetable of events is not governed by Washington or Tehran or Brussels. The Bible says the Most High rules in the affairs of men.
That's right.
He is in control. And he can say, hey, slow down. And he's got his vessels to slow things down. Or he can say, let's quicken that thing up. Because there's a fine tuning. It's bringing the great prophetic vision to pass. But everything's got to be in the right place. And Mr. Emil's got to be sitting on the chair. And the grandmother's got to be standing. And then, you know, Brother Bram was sitting on somebody else's place. He had to get up and go and sit. And then Graham Snelling could sit on the duofold. And finally, when everything was in place,
that's right,
the angel Lord was there. And then he could say, thus saith the Lord, it's time has come, and God came and backed it up. And that's what's happening now. We see the movement of nations and alliances. They're being anointed because we're living in harvest time. You know, we're not in seed time. We're not in the time when the seed was sown. We'll have a look just now to see when the seed was sown. But we're living in the time of the harvest, where things come to maturity now, that things manifest themselves. It's the time of the latter rain. We're not under the former rain, which is a rain that comes to water the seed to get things started. We're living in the time of the latter rain, where the anointing comes to quicken everything to its destiny to finish everything up.
Amen.
And that's why these people, you'll see it, these people are absolutely driven by an anointing. That's what it is. It's an evil anointing. And the Bible speaks about it and symbolizes it in certain ways. But the Lord, he knows how to hold things back, and he knows how to just press that dial to speed this up, to get this nation to do this and that. And then finally, what the prophets had seen thousands of years ago, we see it. Turn on your news,
yeah,
and you'll see it happening on the news now. Things that you never ever would have thought are possible, but it's so perfectly coming to pass, even in this political realm. So, what is the end game? That's what you want to look at today. So, we see he has Persia, he has Iran, and they've got an agenda. We see Russia, it's good at invading countries, it invaded Georgia, and then it invaded Crimea, and now it's in Ukraine. What's going on here? Where are these things leading to? So I just want to have a look at these two players scripturally, because they come together. Because in the end, like with us, you'll never fulfill your destiny just by yourself. You know, the prophetic plan that God has for your life is there's alliances in these things. You know, there's certain headship you need to be under. There's certain people you need to be together with. You'll never, ever fulfill your prophetic destiny just as a lone ranger. It doesn't work like that. And these nations are the same, because we'll see it. The EU, there's got to be 10 kings rise up who give their power to the beast. Yeah. There's got to be the kings of the East. There's got to be China and North Korea, those winds that blow from the East. There's got to be the king of the South. There's got to be nations in North Africa, the Islamic nations that unite themselves together as well. We see like Libya and Ethiopia, the Bible speaks about exactly who's going to be there in the end time in each of these different camps, these four winds that are going to blow against Israel. And now we're looking here at Russia, which is the North Wind, which is the king of the North. This is the alliance that's going to be under Russia. And there's all that, then there's the West Wind, which is NATO. And all those kind of things. The Western nations, they've got their lines. But in the end, they all come together, and the final battle is fought in the Valley of Megiddo in Israel. It all is heading towards one great battle in the end. And part of that great battle in the end is the war of Gog and Magog, which is one we'll just have a look at this evening. So this is the end game we're looking at. So look at Ezekiel, even before we get there, look at Ezekiel chapter 36. If you want to read it when you're talking, we don't have time this evening to spend much time looking at it. But before we get to Ezekiel 38, which is the war of Gog and Magog, the final war, I need to set a context. Because things don't just happen in isolation. Things lead up to a certain... So what is the time frame we're speaking of for things to take place? So obviously Ezekiel 36 and 37 take place before 38 and 39, which is the great battle that comes. But Ezekiel 36 is a very powerful chapter if you read it, because the same prophet who sees these nations coming against Israel in the latter days also sees the gathering of Israel before the nations can come against it. Because until 1948, there was no Israel in the land. This prophecy could never have been fulfilled.
Yeah,
there could be no war of God and Magog. Israel had to be in their prophetic place. They had to be back in their homeland. They had to be according to their prophetic destiny. They had to be back. And the same Ezekiel that saw the war afterwards, he saw the gathering of Israel in the last days. So we're speaking here about God and his word, about the prophetic word, how perfect the prophecy is, because Ezekiel was 2,500 years ago. I mean, that's a long time.
Amen.
He prophesied 2,500 years ago, and we can go and look in the news today, and we'll see it's exactly lining up with what he said, and it's never lined up for those 2,500 years. It's only lined up in the last 30 years.
Wow.
It's a thing to really think about. And that's how when it speaks of we in the latter days, we in the end times, it's not just a phrase that people say. Jesus, when they asked him, they said, Master, when they're on the Mount of Olives, said, Master, in Matthew 24, said, tell us, when shall these things be? He's speaking of the temple being destroyed. And what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Three questions they asked him. One was the destruction of Jerusalem when the temple would be destroyed. And he answered them and gives them signs, political, military signs. He says, when you see nations, Jerusalem compassed with armies, that's AD 68, 69 up to 70, when Titus came and besieged Jerusalem, flee to the mountains because this be the day of vengeance, that all things may be fulfilled upon this city of Jerusalem. So Jesus gave natural signs when they were saying, when will it be? Then he said, then ask, what will be the sign of your coming? What does he say? He says, it's going to be nation rising against nation. There's going to be famines and pestilence in place after place, earthquakes. He says, these are the birth pains. These are the beginning of sorrow. The end is not yet. So when you see Russia invading Ukraine, these are birth pains, but the end's not yet. When you see maybe America and Iran getting into a serious war, I don't know, maybe these wars are prophesied, but they're not the main event.
Right.
They're the birth pains that prepare the way for the main event. But Jesus said, when you see this, no, the end's not quite yet. These are things that are just shifting things into the prophetic place so that the end can come.
I know.
But it's not quite it. So Ezekiel 36, he says, Son of Man, verse 1, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel and say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. What's happened yet? Israel has been taken captive by Babylon. There's no Jews in Israel. Yeah, everything's lying waste. And the Lord says, Ezekiel, go and prophesy to those mountains of Israel and tell them the people are coming back.
Amen.
Go and prophesy and say the people are coming back. And he starts to prophesy. But he starts speaking now prophetic. Then he starts speaking of the latter days. And he starts speaking not of just that time when he was prophesying Ezekiel. He starts speaking of Israel being gathered, scattered into all nations, which only happened in our, you know, after they rejected Jesus. But then he gets into the prophetic and he says, but before the end, I will gather you from all those nations. And there's three things which happen. He says, I'm going to gather you from the nations.
Yeah.
You're going to rebuild your cities. He says, then I'll give you a new heart. And a new spirit, then I'll put my spirit in.
Hallelujah.
We've already seen two of those things before. Israel's been gathered from all nations in the last 100 years. Now they were scattered into all the nations. Many of them were still living in many of the nations. But the nation of Israel was only re-established in 1948. That's when it got its independence. And they've rebuilt the cities. You can read it. It actually tells you exactly what's going to happen. But I think we get up to verse 24 or something, where it says, 24, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. We can say, this day is this scripture. But you can't keep going. Because the next verse says, then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols. Verse 26, a new heart will I give you, a new spirit. That's now the revival that's come. We've seen Israel regathered. We've seen them restored politically, but they haven't been revived. They haven't yet. It's going to take Moses and Elijah. God doesn't deal with the Jews and Gentiles at the same time. That's going to be after the rapture. So we can say that Ezekiel chapter 36 is fulfilled up to verse 24.
Yes.
And now we're waiting. We're not going to see it. The Gentiles, I mean, that's going to be 144,000 that are born again in a day when they receive their day in the spirit of Moses and Elijah. So then it gets to Ezekiel 37, and it's just The same story in another form. The valley of the dry bones.
Yeah.
Yes, Israel, because this is the house of Israel, and they're just a valley of dry bones. And he says, Son of man, can these dry bones look? Says, you know, he says, prophesy to the bones. And he speaks with, and the bones start coming back together.
Yeah.
All the mechanics start coming
yeah.
back. And people come back, they build Tel Aviv, they build a good economy, they build a big military. And you can read down to a certain point, and you said, this day, the scripture's been fulfilled. We've seen the bones and the sinew and the flesh come back. But as of yet, the Lord hasn't breathed the breath of life back into them. They haven't come spiritually alive yet.
Yeah.
Exactly the same as chapter 36. And that's where Israel is now. You know, they've gathered a tremendous military, a tremendous economy, and all that kind of stuff. But they're waiting now for that breath of life to be. So they really come alive, which is what the Lord wants to do for them. So you can see the context now. When you get to chapter 38, once they gathered in their land, once they're prospering, as is always the case, when you start making a stand and the Lord's dealing with you and you start to move, there's going to be the evil eye of the enemy set upon you. Now you find when Israel's gathered safely once again from all the nations, Ezekiel 38, now you find there's an alliance that raises up in the latter days against Israel. Yeah, so that's what you want to have a look at here. So chapter 38 now, after 36 and 37, the regathering of Israel, we have 38. He says, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. If we can find out who this man is, we're going to find out the Lord is against him. That's why I get so surprised sometimes to find that people are very much for what God is against.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to me. I say, why don't people go read the Bible? Because how you know who God is, I don't want to be for someone that God is against.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be against somebody who God is for.
That's right.
You find yourself in a lot of trouble with the Lord. When you're cursing what God has blessed, when you're blessing what God has cursed, it's not a wise thing to do.
That's right.
They'd rather get in the spirit of the great symphony, get yourself in tune with the mind of God, which is his prophetic mind, and make sure you're in the right camp. Then make sure you're under the right banner, and then the Lord's going to bless you for doing that. So who are these people, this land of Magog and all this kind of stuff? We need to find that out. And say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against thee. Say it a second time. I am against thee, O God, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Hey, I'm against thee. So we're in the latter days now, when the Lord is sitting in heaven and he's looking down on earth, there's certain leaders he's against. And if you want your country to prosper, you don't have anything to do with those people, those nations. And you find out who is the Lord for, and you're going to ally yourself with them and see the blessing it'll come upon your nation. It's been proven that Britain's great mistake was turning against Israel, promising them a land under the Balfour Declaration and never fulfilling their promise. And then when Israel was supposed to get the land, Britain stood against it. And Britain had the greatest empire in the world. The sun never went down in the British Empire. Right from India, New Zealand, Australia, Canada. You think of the great empire there, Zimbabwe, Malawi, South Africa. And from that point, things started to fall apart. And now look, they're even struggling to pay their debts. You never would have thought just 80 years ago, this was the greatest empire.
Yeah.
But look at it now. It's come to nothing. Because the scripture said, Genesis 12, in the seed chapter of the Bible,
yes,
he who blesses Abraham, he who blesses Israel, or and his seed will be blessed, and he who curses Israel will be cursed. It's an unfailing principle of the word.
Amen.
And the only reason the American empires prospered was because they blessed Israel.
Amen.
They helped to establish a nation in Israel. And the prophet says that's the only thing holding America together is their respect of the Jew. He says, in 1956, he said, but watch out, because it's like they started to take side of the Arabs. He says, when they ever take side of the Arabs, it's over. You can really see things in the balance there now in America. Just depends on which government they put. Now they've got a pharaoh that loves Joseph.
That's right.
But the previous two pharaohs didn't love Joseph at all. You know, you don't want to be in that kind of a situation. And I'm sure the next pharaoh is not going to like Joseph because things, it's like Trump being put in there. And Trump, I agree with his policy. I don't agree with his personality. He's a rough man.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know how to have control himself. And he's only a man you can respect as a man. But his policies, the way he loves Israel, he loves the Christians and that.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, the Jews say he's like King Cyrus.
Mm-hmm.
The Cyrus was put there to help Israel.
Mm-hmm.
God can put a leader who doesn't know him, and he can use that person to help his people. And this little window of opportunity that's been given, it's like things were going so fast in the wrong direction that the Lord just brought about a halt once again, told those angels, hold things back. And now America is friends with Israel once again and is helping Israel. So God knows how to raise up people, unlikely people sometimes, unlikely alliances, because his people need prophetic help, need help so they can fulfill their destiny. And that's the little window of opportunity we're in here. Things were hastening very fast.
Mm-hmm.
When you get on to looking at America, we'll see America's in a fine balance now between the lamb and the dragon. Remember, we looked at the ones because in Revelation 13, America, it's got horns like the lamb, and then it ends up speaking like the dragon. And America's been speaking like the dragon quite a lot under the previous administrations. And now the Lord's just turned things around, now speaking like a lamb a little bit again. It's for the Christians and for the Bible and for Israel, but its prophetic destiny, it becomes like the dragon. We know where it has to end up. You know, it's not going to stay the way that it is. So, I'm against the omission ketubah. Verse 8. After many days, this was 2,500 years ago, thou shalt be visited in the latter years. He's speaking to Israel. To Gog, this God. Thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword. So there's going to be an alliance of nations that are going to come against Israel in the land that is brought back from the sword in the latter days. That's what's prophetically going to happen. It has to be. Look at all these Muslim nations coming against Israel. It's not time yet. That's a one by one. You find knockout punch. His baller's in trouble. Hamas isn't doing so well. Iran gets bashed. That's always going to happen until the appointed time. It's like sickness might strike and the devil thinks he's got you.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not yet your time,
yes,
it's going to be a knockout blow to that sickness and you're going to keep pushing
that's
on.
Right.
Because you're immortal until your job is done.
Amen.
And that's the same as prophetically for the nations that God has appointed. Yeah, they can shake sometimes, but yeah, the shaking does them good. He says, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. Almost 2,000 years, Israel was swamps, just Bedouins living there. There was no cities anymore. Jerusalem was a ruin. Until the right people came back again. And now the desert starts blossoming like a rose. And now they've got the 8th best economy in the world and one of the best militaries in the world.
Mm.
You know, all those kind of things. When the right people come to the right place at the right time, the blessing of God comes upon them. Let other people try to go into the promised land and run it and see. It never brings forth anything. The moment Israel got back in there again, you just see the blessing coming upon the land. But it's not going to stay like that. Verse 15. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts. Thou and many people with thee. So this enemy is coming from the north. And the Bible tells us he's the king of the north. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. This hasn't been fulfilled yet. It hasn't yet. It's never happened to Israel since they were regathered again. Nobody's come up like a cloud against them. Somebody coming from the north, a mighty nation, whoever it is from the north.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's see who it is. So Ezekiel tells us it's Gog, the prince of Magog. That's the name. You look at your Ezekiel chapter 38. Gog is not a personal name, but it's a title like Tsar or Pharaoh. Or a chief prince. So there's going to rise up a man, yeah, And he's going to be a dictator. And he's going to, it's going to come into his heart to come against Israel. In the latter days when Israel's dwelling in peace, they're gathered in their land once again. Magog. So this guy, Gog, is going to arise in the land of Magog, the Bible says. He will arise in the land of Magog, and it says in the remote parts of the north. So if you look at a map, what is the remote parts of the north from Jerusalem? It's Russia. There's only one nation in the remote parts of the north.
That's
it's
true.
Going to come from Russia. The king of the north is going to come from Russia. The Bible makes it clear. There's only Turkey, and then you can go whatever other nations there, little Ukraine, and then you get Russia. And there's going to come a leader, a chief prince from this northern nation, and he's going to lead an alliance, and he's going to come against Israel in the latter days. Okay, if you read in history, if you go to your Genesis 10, because Genesis is the seed chapter. Now, if you want to know who's God, go back to the seed chapter, Genesis chapter 10. Because here's the table of nations in Genesis chapter 10. It starts telling us about after the flood, where all of these descendants of Ham, Shem, and Japheth, where they went. Chapter 10, verse 2. Verse 1 says, these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. So this is seed time. Rambam says, every seed was sown in Genesis. But now Ezekiel's telling us harvest time now. So that seed that's sown there is going to come to harvest now in the latter days. Verse 2, the sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, and Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshech,
yeah,
and Tiraz. There's all the names we saw.
Mm-hmm.
Gom, ruler of Magog. So we need to go back to the Jews now, because the Jews will tell us this. Or even Voltaire. People know Voltaire from their philosophy. He was a historian as well. He said, it is incontestable, Voltaire said, he was from France, that the descendants of Gog, of Magog, the Russians, are from Magog. No. All the people in the past who knew the history knew that. Josephus says, Magog founded those that from him were called Magogites, but were by the Greeks called the Scythians. And now, go and read your history. The Scythians, the Russians themselves said we came from the Scythians. You know, so it's clear that this remote land in the north, Gog is the ruler, Magog is the nation. This nation is descended from the Scythians. It's the Russian people. Now, there's a lot of proof you can get if you go and read your, what it is there. These other ones say, the Scythians. What about these Scythians? They were absolute barbarians, expert horsemen, but fierce, bloodthirsty killers. Genetically, they were Aryans. But geographically, they now live in the area known as Russia. You'll find it anywhere that you look. You're going to find that these people, the Magogites, are the Russian people, the side of bloodthirsty, fierce people, warlike kind of a people. And it actually says they're originally from Iranian stock. They came from Persia, 7th, 8th century BC, and migrated north and went and lived in the parts they now are of Russia. Now look at the names. Rosh. If you're going to have a look, take Josephus, take all of the Jewish rabbis. Rosh is Russia. Even the word Rosh, Russian, that's where it comes from. Meshech is Moscow. That's just been changed over time. Tubal, there's still the river Tubal in Russia. There's a big river. Tobolsk is the city on the Tobol River. So you find these very names even haven't changed very much. But what was there in the beginning, we find it coming and reappearing in the end. Because through the ages, Russia was nothing. When did you ever find Russia anywhere else in the Bible? Was it any power? Was it any something that came from Russia? But the Bible had said, in the last days, it's going to rise up and take its place among the nations. So we're not surprised to find a nation rising up now after the Second World War. But hey, where did this nation come from? Verse 10, thus says the Lord God, it shall also come to pass at the same time shall things come into your mind. So the Lord's reading the mind of this ruler in the end times, this ruler of Russia, and say, something's going to come into your mind, and you shall think an evil thought. So you're going to find this man's got a tendency of thinking evil thoughts. Now, he likes to invade nations. It comes in his mind. I think let's expand our empire a little bit more. And he likes to invade nations. Devise an evil plan. That's the literal translation. So there's going to come this leader of Russia in the end. And the Lord says, there's going to come an evil plan inside of this man's heart. And the Lord says, I'm against you, O God, ruler of my God, because you're going to start thinking some evil things. And what is his evil plan? Is to come against Israel. And he doesn't come by himself. Verse 4 says, a great company shall come. Verse 9 says, like a storm, like a cloud. So he's going to get a huge alliance behind him. Now, it makes a lot of sense. You would have thought 5 years ago, Russia doesn't need an alliance to come against Israel. But they haven't even been able to beat Ukraine. You would have thought Russia will just knock out Israel. They can't even knock out Ukraine. And Israel is far more powerful militarily than Ukraine. So you can see why they have to come with an alliance in there. Because they don't have enough sufficient power themselves to come and defeat a nation like that. But he's going to come like a cloud, the Bible says. Okay, so these birth pains. What about the coalition? What about the nations? Open your Bible and let's finish with this. We'll get on to another thing next time to take it further. But if you look in Ezekiel chapter 38, let's look at these nations that it tells us that in the latter days, Gog, the prince of Magog, when this evil plan comes in his heart to go and invade Israel, what nations come with him? Verse 5. It shows us who's the first one. Persia. The very first one in the lines that's going to come together with him is Persia, which is Iran in our day. Wow. Who's the country of the world that's most against Israel? Is Iran.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because, again, like with Russia, Iran's not able to do it by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if Iran had nuclear weapons. They don't need to come with Russia to against Israel. They'll come by themselves, but something's happened. They don't have the weapons they need to do it themselves, so they have to ally themselves with Russia, who doesn't have the power anymore to do it themselves. They have to ally themselves together to come and get this job done. Now, if that's not really looking at the last year's couple of years' events and understanding how it shifted things to make this come to pass, I don't know what does. Never before has it been in a position. But look at this coalition. Verse 5. There's Persia. There's Ethiopia. There's Libya. All Muslim countries.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ethiopia leans towards communism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
In these countries. Who else? Gomer and his bands. We'll finish by looking at some of these guys. So it speaks of Put, which is Libya and that area, North Africa, all the Muslim nations. It speaks of Kush, which is Sudan, Ethiopia, that area there. It speaks of Persia, which is Iran, and Goma. Who is Goma? Goma is Turkey. And then comes with Magog. These are the nations that ally themselves together to come against Israel in the last days. So how far have we gone along in getting an alliance like this? Let's look at Persia. Persia, 1946, was a Western nation under the Shah. They were allied with America. Yeah, Iran wasn't a nation, it was called Persia. They were buddies with America. But according to the prophecy, Persia was not going to be under the headship of the West in the end. It was going to come under the headship of Gog, the prince of Magog. So, fine-tuning takes place. 1979, there's a revolution in Persia. The Shah flees to the west, and the Ayatollah takes him with his radical Islam. With his one golden aim is to destroy Israel. So only since 1979 was that piece put in place. Because the hat was made on the television set, but 1979 the hat was put on the television set.
That's right.
And the right anointing, according to prophecy, came upon that nation to fulfill its end time destiny. Only up in 1979. What about Bowman? Turkey was started by Ataturk in 1952. Turkey was put into NATO. It was a friend of the West.
Right.
It's always been a friend of the West. Turkey was actually a very good friend of Israel until this man took over, Erdogan. Erdogan took over in 2014. Before that, Turkey was part, it still is part of NATO. It was with the West. But Ezekiel, 2,500 years ago, said, go, my Turkey is not going to be under the West anymore. It's going to be under God. And there has to come the right man at the right time to take control, and then everything changed in Turkey. And Turkey was a fierce enemy of Israel.
That's right.
If you know your news, what's taking place, if you know this guy Erdogan, he has one aim and one goal, and that is to restore the kingdom of Saladin, the Ottoman Empire. Yeah. Turkey was in charge of the Ottoman Empire that was governed Jerusalem all through those dark ages until Britain came 1914 to 18, first World War, bashed the Turks out of the promised land. Britain took over, and that's how the nation of Israel was born. But Turkey was in control, and his whole vision, his whole aim that he lives for is to get the Jews out of Jerusalem again so that he can rule and reign with his Turks like they used to do over the promised land. You see how these people rise up at the right time? Nothing happens by chance. The prophet says the great wheels of God's economy,
yes,
turn slow, but they turn sure.
Yeah.
And you'll find Russia, which was under Gorbachev and under Yeltsin, was making bunnies with America. And the Lord said, that's not the way it's supposed to be prophetically. And then came Agog, who took over Magog. And some evil plan started to rise up inside of his heart. And he started to say, I need to take back the glory of the empire. That's what we're calling it, the age of empires. His vision is to restore the Soviet empire.
That's right.
Ukraine was part of the Soviet empire before, but then it went and put itself under the West. And then an evil plan came in his heart. I'm not going to allow that. I want to restore the glory of my father's kingdom. You know? I want to restore the empire once again. And he started 2014, 2016, invading those neighbors now because he wants to restore the empire once again. These people are governed by a big, big vision. Each of them have a vision to restore the empire of the past. What is Trump's vision? Restore the American empire to the glory it used to be. It's never going to happen. We know that according to prophecy. But each of these rulers that are there now, they have these empire aspirations. They want to bring things back to the glory that there was before. That's where they are now. So Turkey now. So we're not surprised to find now the alliance now between Magog, Russia, Persia, Iran, and Goma. But it was never possible until the last couple of years. Never. They were in different orbits. They were under different alliances. They had different headship in their nations. People used to say, it's a contradiction in the Bible. They say Turkey will never be under Russia. And they say Iran has always fought with Russia. All through history, they've always had wars. They said they'll never, ever, according to Ezekiel, come under the headship of Russia. And then they left. In our day, in our newspapers, in our magazines, in our newsreels, we see it's happened now. And it's happening now. And Ezekiel told us 2,500 years ago in the Latin words. And now we see exactly this day is this scripture for them.
Yeah.
These things are falling exactly in place. So when we speak about divine fine tuning, every scripture shall be fulfilled.
Jesus. Amen.
Everything that is appointed, nations have a prophetic destiny, just as much as individuals have a prophetic destiny. And every nation is going to fulfill its destiny. And it's being spoken in the scriptures. Those nations were sown in Genesis at seed time. Under the latter rain, they were formed as nations. And now under the latter rain now, in our age, when there's the final quickening of the nations now, you find these nations quickened to come into the great place. How much more has people been quickened to come into the appointed place? Because the believer is the real person of destiny in the latter days. Because them that know their God shall do exploits. Now, there's the promises of the Lord. And what are these people? How do they get into these positions and get it? They just yielded to that anointing that's upon them.
Yeah.
We'll see it next time. These different beast anointings that rise up. And you find they just yield and commit themselves to that vision that that anointing gives them. And they automatically start fulfilling their destiny. So, the fourth anniversary now of Russia invading Ukraine. It wasn't a surprise when you read Ezekiel 38. Because in Ezekiel 38, it tells us in the latter days there's going to be a leader in Russia, in Magog. And evil thoughts come into that man's heart. And he thinks they're going to invade countries. And we said it 4 years ago. We said, this isn't the real plan the man has, according to Scripture. This is just a birth pain. The real plan he has, according to Scripture, he's wanted to come against Israel. And since the last 20 years, Israel's found so much oil, it's found so much gas, it's become so prosperous. We'll see. People used to wonder before, why would Russia want to go and invade Israel? What would be the point? The Lord knew what he was saying.
Hallelujah.
He knew what was there, and at the appointed time, because of the manifestation of it. So may the Lord help us in our individual lives.
Yes.
We don't have to be smart. We don't have to, you know, push ourselves beyond our limits. We just have to yield to him.
Amen.
And you will fulfill all that is written of you as well.
Amen.
Let's stand. Let's finish.
Amen.
This is part of it. It's a culture. Father, we come before the Lord at this time, this junction in time, when we see that nations, Lord, are shaking once again. Father, we see these alliances and we see these winds and this strife. And Father, we just want to come to the rock of ages. We just want to hide ourselves away. Father, these things, they shake the economies, and will these things shake the security of the nations? But Father, we just want to build our house upon the solid rock. Because we don't mind what winds come, rains can beat down. But Father, having done all, we know that in you we'll still be scared. And we thank you, Lord, that your eyes are upon your people, just as your eyes are upon Israel. Father, the apple of your eye, you say, well, you shall keep Israel. He that keepeth Israel shall not slumber nor sleep. And we thank you for that. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your grace in the lives of your people. Now, Father, help us, Lord, we pray. Even at this time, you said we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we pray for your peace. We pray for your children, that you'll continue to bless them, that you'll continue to fight their battles, Lord. That no matter how big the Goliath is, Lord, you know that he'll keep coming down as long as your hand is still upon your people. May you bless Israel, we pray. Bless them among the nations, Lord. And you help us to be a blessing as well. In Jesus' name.
Let's start with 161 and then we finish with 65. It's an eight month.
Nations are breaking, Israel's awakening, the signs of the prophets foretold. If Jacob is numbered, Before I sing number eternity, so big love, hallelujah, a day of redemption is here. All of them song, so faithful okay. We know it's you with the spirit, good and speak them Oh, we shall only know the blessing of the fathers we can receive when they read the covenant letters for you and me. We have the stones here. Not beginning, don't you hear the head singing? If the
Thank you.